Ah, good evening, everyone. It's dark and stormy in California. Say what? It's not so dark and stormy at the Arsenal over the last few games. This is the Lockdown Series, Volume 2, Episode 39. Let's hear your best 11. Let's go. Welcome back to the show, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell.
Boat.
I used that on the old same old Arsenal USA podcast last night with the bearded Gunnar, Tanner and Mike, who send their best regards to you.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's become a thing, Kev. It's become a thing, just so you
listen,
know.
Listen, as you know, this has been going on since the 90s. Early 90s.
The Boat. Best.
Yeah, been going on. So it's all good.
I love it. Wow. Hope we've had a cracking day. Hope you've had a cracking day. Big up squaddies. Evening all. Hi, Virginia. Hello to everyone in chat. Hi, Jim. And yes, we've got a show for you tonight. But as you know, the show is incomplete without you. By the way, it's so dark here, Kev. It rarely happens in California. You know? There's storms, there's thunder, there's lightning, there's rain. I kind of love it, you know? It's a bit different.
As we said, Tony, it never rains in Southern California. Woo! Bad tune!
And I've got my Arsenal beanie on tonight, but you and I have talked about this. I love the stripy socks.
Yeah,
I love that kit with the stripy socks.
Quality,
always good.
Absolute quality. And you know, them socks were quality socks as well. Because some of the others, when they got washed, weren't great. But you know, them socks are quality.
And you know what, Newman? I don't like indoor lighting in my house. We like it candle driven, low lighting, mood. You know, it's a bit like Kev's Funky Friday. It's
yeah,
about the
man.
Mood and the swing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. All right, Richard. How's it going? Good evening, Jacob. Hi, Collins. We love you as well. Thank you for loving the show. Kev, guess what? One of our squaddies. Look at this. It's Jack.
Yes. Yay! Yay! Yes. It was only a matter of time. Listen, What's it been? What, 4 or 5 weeks?
Four, and we have a winner. And we have a squaddy winner. We got Jags, who won the Arsene Wenger signed pennant. Here he is. He's Brilliant. Football prizes winner. Look at that dream. Do you remember the Dreamcast shirt?
Yes.
That
yes,
wasn't
I
too
remember
bad either, was it?
And look at the sign. Football prizes winner.
Winner. That's what we are here at the Highbury squad. We are winners. I love
winner,
it. Well done, Jags.
Winner.
High super care finish. Boom. Brilliant stuff. So listen, you guys can, and congrats, absolutely, everybody. Well done, Jags. We all have that shirt. And listen, yes, Gunner Forever. I love it. Absolutely love it that we have a winner finally on football prizes. He actually wrote and he said, it's the best thing I've ever done in lockdown. It was great, Casey. Brilliant stuff. All right, let's get on with the show. Here's where we're at tonight. Do you guys remember we did a show with James Johnston, who came on and did the tactics? It was a brilliant show. Everyone really enjoyed it. Kev, you loved it as well.
Yeah,
in
really
terms
good.
Of hearing his, you know, if everyone's fit and how we play
his
and
argument,
what we do.
His arguments. He had a couple of players and he was looking at players who he can actually draft in as well, who to sign. So it was a really good show.
Yeah, really good stuff. So here we are in the final act of the season. Because for me, once we hit March, this is it. You have the first act, you have the middle act, and then you have the final act. And as you hit March, this is where Arsenal love to go on a run, Kev. And also, when we'd still be in the FA Cup or the Europa League or a cup competition, the balancing act comes into play big time.
Especially in
a COVID era where there's been no rest really since the last season to this season. You've had a lot of muscle injuries. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of fatigue. And to be fair to Arteta, he's really having to juggle things around. And as critical as I've been of him, the next couple months are so important. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to throw something at you tonight, following on from the show from James as well, because things have changed. There are a lot of people who are, a lot of players who are fit now. You know, we've lost ESR for a little bit. We don't know when he's going to come back. Partey's coming back into the fold. Gabriel is overcoming his COVID situation and is available too. You've got that Cedric, Bellerin, who plays, who doesn't. You know, you've got Mari, Luis, Gabriel. Holding is, he had a concussion, right?
So I think he was on the bench, wasn't he?
He was. So he might be coming back. You got Tierney, who we need. And we all know that Saka can deputise in that left-back position. But the point of tonight's show is, if everyone is fit and ready to roll, how do we manage the rest of the season in the Premier League and the Europa League, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw this out to you, and you're going to tell me what you think. And this is a follow-on from the show with James. And I'm going to start with the Premier League, because I do think there's a difference between, I think we all agree, playing in Europe and playing in the Premier League, you know, depending on who the opponent is, but also depending on, in Europe, the game could be slower a little bit. The build-up plays a little bit slower. It might not be as intense.
Don't you start with the Europa League team?
Okay, let's do that.
Because if you start with Europa League team, that's going to then determine what happens in the Premier League.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So here's my presentation to Kev on my 11 for the Europa League. SD's best 11 for Europa League. Obviously, Leno in goal. Cedric on that right side. Mari in the middle with Gabriel. Tierney on the left. Xhaka and Partey. Odegaard on the...
the hole?
Yes, in the hole. I just got to get rid of this, by the way. Hold on 1 second so you can see. Yes, okay, thank you. And then you've got Saka, Aubameyang and Pepe. So for me, Kev, here's where I'm going with this. Cedric, for me, is much better on the right side, especially if I've got Pepe on that side, right? Now, at the same time, even if Saka's playing on the right side and Cedric is on the right side, I think it's even still better for Saka, right? Because of Cedric's ability with the ball, how he keeps the ball, how he distributes the ball, and how he defends. And so I also think Tierney and Pepe on that left side, prolific. We saw that work really well in previous games. And also in Europe, I'm going to say, and you'll see when I give you my Premier League best 11 too, Xhaka and Partey, if they're fit, they're the ones that have to play all the time together, because that gives us the option. And then if we need a second option, I think someone like Ceballos can come on. And then if we're winning a game, someone like Elneny can come on and help contain the ball, control the ball, and help keep possession in that midfield and help that back four, right?
Makes sense,
And then going forward, it's always got to be Saka and Aubameyang. And I think Pepe has played himself into being undroppable right now, in the sense that he's on fire. He's proved over the last five or six games that, you know, he's living up to his reputation and what we thought he would be. Yeah. So I'm going to hand it over to you. Here's why I chose Odegaard too. In Europe, the pace slows down a little bit, which gives players more time on the ball. And I think he has this, and you've talked about it too, and you've seen him play in La Liga. When he has time on the ball or off the ball, what he does with the ball is very special, you know. And even if ESR is fit, I would play Odegaard ahead of him, and then I would bring ESR on in a second half, depending on what's happening in the game, for energy. Right.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like the team. I think there might be one or two changes that I could see. Solely because I think experience is really important. And I'm not saying that some of the players haven't got experience. But for me, I just think Pablo Mari, I would have David Luiz there because he's been there, said it, done it.
And that's what Elias is saying too.
Yeah, that's... And it's, listen, if that team was picked, Sophie, I would be happy. There'd be no complaints from me. There'd be no, why isn't David Luiz playing? No, none of that. I could see that working. They're younger. We've seen Pablo Mari deal. Listen, let's be honest. We saw him deal with Jamie Vardy properly at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There was one where it was a run and you're thinking, oh no, but Pablo Mari put the body on him and dealt with him properly. So I've got no problem with Pablo Mari being in there. I just think because of experience and know-how, and as you said, it's a bit of a slower build-up. It's a slower game. I think David Luiz done pretty well in the last game against Benfica and against Leicester. So I think he would keep his spot in that team.
Do you think, Kev, because we've talked about consistency and when a team wins and they do well, keep it going. And Arteta did that, didn't he, with the Leeds game. He kept the same squad and that paid off. In the next game, it didn't pay off as much. But there's a lot to be said about when you find your formula, keep to it. But do you keep to it in the different competitions because you've got to rest players? So would you keep the same team in the Premier League but then play them in the Europa League? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it all depends as well how people feel, Sophie. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is how people feel and it's driven by that. But also, you've got to give... It is a squad game, whether we like it or not. Now, the fact of the matter is, Sophie, we've been on air and we've battled and there's been fire and people have been making fun of me saying, Sophie, 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 Sophie. And I've been trying to crow on about, it's about when these players cross the white line.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw Mikel Arteta play players after a really important win in Europe midweek last week. He changes six players and all of a sudden the players turn up and we could do a team like Leicester, who could have gone second. But that just goes to show that you need the squad. Okay? You do need the squad because on paper, Sophie, we have got some wonderful players. We've got some talent. But our problem is they haven't been anywhere near as consistent as we need them to be, Mikel Arteta needs them to be, or they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So now, as you quite rightly said, we're at that squeaky bum time, the business end of the season now. We're in March, and now is the time to step up because all the marbles are in the middle of the table now, Sophie. All these teams who people are saying, but look at this one, look at that one. Now we're going to find out how good these teams are.
Yeah, and Villa lost. Villa lost today.
But we're going to find out now. So
we're going to find out. This is the proof is in the pudding. The final act is it like in a movie. You know, you watch a film, you're invested in it. The first act gets you going. The middle act, you're like, where's this going? And then the final act,
you're
just
like,
let everything unfold, right, Casey?
Exactly. You're like, huh? I never saw that coming.
Right. I want to go back to your comment about David Luiz because I brought Johnny Boy's comment up here. Do you remember how everyone was ripping him, right? Because he makes mistakes. But to be fair to him, it's been a long time since he's made a grave mistake. And every player makes mistakes. You could point to Harry Maguire in Manchester United's team making mistakes. Look at Manchester City at the beginning of the season, mistake after mistake, mistake. They were in the bottom half of the table. They've gone on a 21 unbeaten game run. Boom.
It's incredible.
You know, Liverpool, Alisson. Who'd have thought Alisson would be making those kinds of mistakes this season? So look at Hugo Lloris, Tottenham, mistake after mistake, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of teams have this, and I think David Luiz gets punished a lot because of his reputation. What do you think about Johnny Boy saying that Luiz is more dependable than Gabriel at the moment? Is that an experience thing in the Premier League and in Europe? Gabriel has had that experience in Europe, of course, and Ligue 1, but it's not on the same level of Luiz. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I just think it's an experience thing. You know, David Luiz has seen it all and played for it all. And there was a comment just came up about his temporary. Yeah, David Luiz isn't the future, that's for sure. He isn't the future, but he's the most experienced we've got. And when it comes to the business end of the season, you do need experience. I think Gabriel hasn't looked as dominant as he did before COVID. And, you know, listen, it can take it out of you. We know that. It can really hinder a player. But I think David Luiz has been, he's been first class lately.
I agree with you. I want to go up to some of the 11. Like, here's Michael's. He's got Leno, Cedric, Luis Gabriel, Tierney, Partey, Ceballos. So he's dropping Xhaka for Ceballos, and then he's got Odegaard, Pepe, Oba, Saka.
So this is Michael's European team.
Yes, yes. This is, you guys, you've got to get this right, right? This is the Europa League team, not the Premier League team.
Europa League team. And listen, I wouldn't, again, there might be one. In your team, I said there's one or two. Again, you could look at one or two. You could look at Xhaka changing with Ceballos. Mm-hmm. You know, some people might say, you know, we'd prefer Bellerin at right back. You just never know. But the same people who want this team, are they going to be the same people who moan if this team isn't picked? That's what, that's a problem I've got with some Arsenal fans. Because right. they think they know what the team should be, that don't mean that if the manager doesn't pick the team that they think, then it's to throw the toys out the trap.
So when I threw this out to my cousin Louis tonight, I said to him, what would you do? He had big Rob Holding in there. And Thomas from Norway, good evening, Thomas. Thanks for always joining us on the show. We really appreciate you. No love for Big Bob Holding anymore. What do you think about this?
I don't think it's... sorry, Sophie. I just don't think it's the fact of it's no love. Mm-hmm. But what you must understand, Thomas, is when, after these games, the coaching staff and the manager go back and watch and dissect games. They go and dissect games. And when they start looking at the goals conceded, Villa, you look at Holding. Man City, you look at Holding. So there might be something that they're looking at and thinking, do you know what? Let's change it and see how we go. So let's pair Luiz with Gabriel and see how that goes. And let's pair Luiz with Pablo Mari and see how that goes. Because you can't give teams legs up, Sophie. Mm-hmm. You can't. And unfortunately, that's kind of crept into Rob Holding's game a little bit. Pity he got a bit of concussion, which has obviously kept him out. But right. I think sometimes when you're in a team and the team hasn't been doing well, and then you get out the team and then the team start doing well, you're in problems, aren't you? Because exactly. how do you get back in? So you're a victim of the team's success.
So here's one I have for you. Where did it go? Because we've talked about this before, and Remy brings up a good point. Two lefties.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Jeff,
what's wrong with that? If two righties can play together, why can't two lefties play together?
Again, it's this makes no sense to me. Honestly, this makes no sense to me.
Have you played with a back line where there's two lefties before, Kev?
No, I've never.
Right.
Because left footers were always at a premium. But you know the new signing at Man City?
Diaz.
Yeah.
Diaz, isn't he?
Hold on. He's a lefty, isn't he?
Yeah.
Diaz has played with Laporte for Man City.
Correct.
You've never seen no drop-off.
No. And Laporte can't get a game right now because
Stones has been unbelievable.
Correct. Yeah.
So, again, people talk about two lefties, but if Man City can do it, why can't we?
Right. I don't understand this notion of if you're a footballer and you can play with both feet, and even if you can't, you look at Nigel Winterburn, Kev. I mean, he was so one-footed.
Yeah.
It was insane. But he played in that back line forever and ever and ever. It never hampered him,
nope.
you know, playing with. And I know some folks think, like, you can't play two lefty. I just don't agree with that. And I defer to you because I'm not a football player. I've coached at AYSO level. And I'm thinking if you're good enough and you're great with your feet, you're playing for me.
You play. It's about the ability. It's not about if you go, oh, you're left footed, so you can't play. Come on, fan base.
Okay. All right, Remy, there's your answer. This one from Mohammed I find interesting because he's got Leno. Wait, have you got too many? Have you got 12 players there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You got 12 players, Mohammed.
He's trying to sneak an extra player, Mohammed.
In the NFL, that would be a foul. 10 yards.
That's a penalty. That's a penalty, mate.
He's squeezing Lacazette in there.
I think he's going for Lacazette on the bench. Yes, I'm going to give you that one. And Lacazette. Look, I'm going to give you that one.
I love it. Do you think Arteta prefers left or right footer? Do you think this is a thing for him? Or do you think it's like whoever's the best, Kev?
He likes good players.
Yeah.
And listen, at the end of the day, if you can defend properly, then fine. Yeah. Not a problem.
No, but Diaz, they are right-footed, but actually Diaz is left and right-footed, you guys. He's right-footed by nature, but he can play with both feet. And he did just play because, yes, but he hasn't been the first choice this season, has he, Kev?
No.
You know, Stones has been a lot of the first choice. Diaz has too. And yes, everyone's like, Diaz is right-footed. He is, but at the same time, there are certain players that can play with both feet. And if you've watched him, Kev.
Sophie as well. so it just dispels what they're moaning about. Because if two righties could play together, two lefties could play together.
Exactly.
How many more times do we have to tell them?
Right. Exactly. And I think I agree with Ian. Luis and Gabriel, best pairing. Right foot, left foot, yes. Gabriel offers pace. And I think that's why Gabriel plays for me, and you'll see my 11. I don't think you need that pace as much in European football because it's a slower build-up, whereas in the Premier League, it's a lot faster pace, Kev. And we've seen when Mari and Holding have played together, they've done well, right? When Holding and Luiz have played together, they've done well. Holding has played really well with smart footballers, but then you balance the two when one has pace and one has positioning.
Yeah. Look, and maybe Holding and Mari, Pablo Mari, aren't the quickest, but they seem to have a really good understanding. When they play together, they have a really good understanding of what's going on. So,
right,
all good.
Okay, so I'm going to get to my Premier League 11 because then we could have a whole hoopla towards the end of the show. You're listening to the Highbury Squad. Guys, it's 39 episodes of the lockdown series, 39 shows. But listen to this. That doesn't include the post-game shows because I don't include them in the volume of lockdown because they're just post-game shows. But if I added all the post-game shows, we're up to like 60. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. It's been an absolute blast. Don't forget to go to footballprizes.co.uk. Kieran Tierney's shirt up for grabs. And we're going to have something extra special for you next week. And as you've seen, our boy Jags was the winner this week. So the Highbury squad are on a roll, Kev, which hopefully that will run onto Burnley and then run into the NLD and stuff. So here's my Premier League team for you. You ready, legend?
Ready. All right, go.
Here we go. Let me get rid of this comment so we can all see. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to get rid of that. Okay, here's my Premier League squad. I got Leno in goal. Always Cedric for me now, Kev, above Bellerin.
Yeah.
I've put Gabriel in there because of pace.
Yeah.
And how we're going to meet perhaps more aggressive counterattacks in the Premier League than we would in Europe.
Yeah,
I have David Luiz in there because of his experience in the Premier League. And yes, I know he might be susceptible to mistakes, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt right now over someone like Holding. Always Tierney on that left side is if he's fit. Same with Xhaka and Partey. But I know that a Ceballos can come on and maybe do something in the second half with 20, 25 minutes to go. And remember, you guys, this is if everybody's fit. Right?
Yeah.
I've put ESR in there because I think he's gained some experience in the Premier League. He's done very well right now. He plays really well with Saka. They have a great understanding. And I also think that whether Pepe's playing on that left side or that right side, he's gelled with Cedric. He's gelled with ESR when they've played together. And he's certainly gelled with Tierney if he's bombing down that left flank. Aubameyang has to start right now. He's in form. You're not going to stop that train. Lacazette can come on if we need to get that goal that if we're trailing off, we need an equaliser. So this would be my Premier League team. So basically what I've changed here is Gabriel for Mari.
Yeah.
And I've put ESR in for Odegaard.
Well, you've changed Luiz for Mari.
And I've changed Luiz for Mari. Yeah. Sorry, yes. Yeah.
And ESR for Odegaard.
Yes. What do you think?
Listen, again, I think I can't argue with that team. That's kind of the team that I would start in Europe. That's kind of the team. Again, there was maybe, as I said to you before, there was two positions that maybe you could argue in that team was Pablo Mari for David Luiz, just for experience. And you could look at Odegaard and ESR. They were the only real two that it's just a preference, really.
Yeah.
But I think the rest is fine. Look, I just think any one of the midfielders plays better with Thomas Partey. So you can pick and choose whichever one you prefer in that midfield. As long as Thomas Partey's in there, I feel comfortable.
Do you agree with Ian that Gabriel's the best one-on-one defender in the club, which would allow overloads, Kev? Can you explain that to everyone what Ian means by overloads?
Well, because you see Kieran Tierney pushing forward, say, against Leicester, for instance. Mm-hmm. You see him pushing up against Leicester, yeah? So what Kieran Tierney is doing is creating an overload on the outside. But what that tends to happen is because there's such a big space, the centre-half has to be able to mark the striker 1v1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because if you give the ball away and you've got a slow defender and a quick forward, you know where that ball's going.
Right.
It's going in behind you to utilise the speed of the attacker. That's why Gabriel is great one-on-one because he likes to get tight, but he trusts his speed over the top as well. That's why he'll mark you 1v1. And that's what we need.
Okay, so I want to get to some of our listeners' 11s for you on the Premier League, Kev. Nana Badu, welcome to the show. Leno, Cedric, Luiz, Gabriel, Tierney, Partey, Xhaka, Saka, ESR, Pepe, Lacazette, no Aubameyang.
Whoa.
That's a Nana, bit controversial.
Nana Badu, well, I tell you what, one thing we can say is Lacazette works pretty well with Saka and ESR. We've seen that happen before.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that Mikel Arteta, it's time to get Aubameyang moving. And you've seen him, he scored a few goals of late and he's starting to get a little bit of rhythm in his game. So I am going to... Listen, but this is Premier League team now, isn't it?
This is Premier League, yeah.
So, again, I can't complain about it because we've seen the team win with Lacazette in there. Lacazette led the line really well against Leicester. And Aubameyang could have a rest. Why not?
So I want you to look at what Gunn's saying here because he's saying, I agree with your team, apart from a slight tweak. And of course, everything's going to change depending on the opposition, right, Kev? But at the ultimate, with the ultimate goal is you play your best players when they're fit. But you also have to make these adjustments. So what Gunn's saying is if we're playing a high line or if our opposition is playing a high line or defending deep, you put Odegaard in, Oba, but a low block ESR Lacazette. Lacazette does do a lot more in the low block than Aubameyang. Can you help everyone understand? I know our listeners are super smart and intelligent, but at the same time, this low block is, there's some new buzzwords and terminology just that there are in my industry when it comes to marketing. The low block.
Low block is defending deep.
Right. Basically.
Defending deep. But if we're honest, we saw both against Benfica.
Mm-hmm.
We saw them press high and try and keep the back line up near the halfway line. And then we saw them retreat to the edge of the box. And that's how Aubameyang scored the first goal.
Yes.
Saka used that ball and a nice slick pass in behind and Aubameyang was moving along the line. That's how you can get in against them. And I agree with that, but I don't agree with leaving Aubameyang out. Because as long as he gets the right ball, Aubameyang could be devastating on a low block.
Do you protect? So here's John Smith, who wants to keep Saka arrested. Kev, we talked about this on Kevin Says last night, and if you missed that, go to the YouTube channel, you guys, because there were some great topics that we discussed last night. And thanks to 5,000 plus of you who've looked at the show so far. I might rest Saka. I may be contradicting myself right now.
I always got to show him off when I wear it. Always got to show Rocky off.
Oh, man. It's just
love
the best.
The man. Love him absolutely. So much, man.
I love that sweatshirt, Kev. We have to get a picture of you and put it on our Instagram account. By the way, you guys, we're building up our Instagram account. Go follow us on there because we're going to be putting a lot more stuff on there. Get some sound bites, audio, and a lot of nostalgia that Kev's been sharing with us over the last few. And next week, we're introducing a brand new show with Kevin where we look back on some Arsenal history and his career history, where we focus on one game and we take you through it from kickoff, from pre to kickoff to the game, and to after the game as well. You guys are going to absolutely love that. Would you rest Saka? And a lot of people have been sending me a message, Kev, for you and for me, talking about, well, what about Willian? Does Willian start now? You asked the question last night.
Mm-hmm. Again, but this headache. Is the... Well, again, Sophie, because you've picked your team for Europe... Mm-hmm. You want to get maximum out of the team, and you want to get maximum out of the squad. So if people are pushing it in the Europa League, then you got to freshen it up, so to speak, in the league. But our problem was, like I keep saying, Sophie, and it drives us mad, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. The inconsistencies of our team were driving us mad. Because there were times where people were getting put in and they weren't doing it. Now, for the last couple of games, Willian came on at Benfica, done pretty well. He was very good against Leicester. Pepe was very good against Leicester. Now, you can mix and match them if you need to. So, I think now, Mikel Arteta can shuffle his squad if need be.
Kev, what do you think about it? Do you think this is a bit harsh from Matty K, one of our favourites here?
I like
here,
that, Mark.
It's great. Everyone wants the body swag now, and they want the break their neck to be part of that, Kev. It's been inundated with messages from everyone.
Sophie, Brock the neck.
Give him the soundbite, Kev.
Brock the neck.
It worked. You pushed it on before Leicester. We've got to carry it through now, that's for sure. If you're a first time listener, subscribe, you guys, and hit that like button for us if you dig us. And if you don't, we still love you guys anyway. Do you think this is fair from Matty K about Oba? Can't hold the ball, pass the ball well. Do you think he's inferior to Lacazette when it comes to that?
Do you know, Sophie? I'm gonna be really honest here. Aubameyang isn't Lacazette when it comes to holding the ball up. Mm. He is not. But he's a different threat. And what I've seen, they're utilising Aubameyang differently to how they play Lacazette. With Lacazette, they're letting Lacazette get hold of the ball and create, bring the traffic towards him, and then he's slipping people through. With Aubameyang, if you watch it, Aubameyang is kind of, it's quick one or two touch football. He's coming up to him, he's laying it off, and then he's getting on his bike, which suits him better than getting it, holding it, waiting for the traffic. That's not Aubameyang style. So they're just different players. And yeah, there are times where we're going to need Lacazette to hold it up.
Yeah.
But I think Aubameyang's been pretty effective playing up there through the middle.
Yeah, and I think it's because of who he's playing with, and he seems to kind of has found his form right now. But a lot of people agree with Matty K in that sense. I've got one here for you from Ian, and it was one of your main questions last night. You said, and I tend to agree with you, is this Burnley game the game to unleash Martinelli? Mm-hmm. Ian says, rest Saka, free Martinelli. Again, KC... This is a good thing for Arteta to have. He's got some headaches now because players are fit. We're in that last part of the season, and this is when you want your best players to be ready to go. What do you think about I didn't include Martinelli because I had him as a super sub, which I didn't get to. Yeah. I should have done a sub slide, you guys.
Yeah, but we could always discuss the sub,
yeah,
can't we?
Yeah. So what do you think about Ian's comment here?
Look, I think resting Saka. Saka rested, didn't even get on the pitch on Sunday. Obviously, that was Sunday. We don't play until the weekend. And I don't think Saka's going to want to. He's not going to want to rest.
No, he's not.
So he's not going to want to rest because, look, you know, Sophie, when you've got a bit of momentum as a footballer, you can rest little bits, but you don't want to rest too much because you want to keep the momentum going. And I think that is Saka. Saka's a momentum player. So I think he will want to play. I'd love to see Martinelli get some minutes. I really would. But I just think Martinelli is a longer-term project solely because of how good Saka's doing. I mean, he's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
He really has.
But like Saka, Martinelli does have some versatility in his game, doesn't he, Kev? Even though some fans think, well, he can't play because Aubameyang's down the middle now and maybe Arteta sees him as that striker, whereas some fans think, well, he's going to play on the left and he can't play on the left if Pepe or Saka are playing there. And so he's in a bit of a pickle. But we talked on the Kevin Says segment last night about how maybe, you know, Arteta is taking a leaf out of Pep's book and managing him the same way Pep did Phil Foden. But yeah. I think Martinelli could be one of those. It sounds like a cliche, but he could be one of those. We just signed him players for the rest of the season who has an impact on the team when we need him the most. Because someone also said that he's managing him. I can't remember who it was. It was way up on the top of the chat. But someone said that Arteta's managing him because he fights so hard and he plays so hard. He's kind of like the movie Seabiscuit, where they wanted to manage the horse in his pace because his heart would burst because he fights so much. You know what I mean?
You have to hold him. You have to hold him back. You have to keep holding him back because he's got a big engine. And, you know, he's like an energizer bunny, isn't he? He just wants to go. And he kind of plays 100 mile an hour all the time.
He does.
And maybe Mikel Arteta wants him to be able to conserve it a little bit, play a bit smarter. It's great to play like that, but maybe that's not, that works sometimes, but it doesn't always work for him. So, you know, maybe an impact substitute right now could be the one.
So this is what I like about, you know, Liverpool. We found out this season their squad was too thin to defend the title, Kev. You know, they run into injuries and they just don't have the backup. And you could argue,
but it's at a certain spot, though, I think, Sophie.
But they've suffered at the back, right?
Yeah, no, that's the position. That's the, you, when you think about it, if you lose three of your main centre backs, most teams are going to struggle.
They still have Trent. They still have Robertson. They've missed Van Dijk, of course. Matip.
Gomez.
They've had to put Henderson at the back there, but they went and bought Davies and they bought the young player from Germany, the young Turkish player. It's not the same. But taking Henderson out of that midfield has hurt them, Kev.
Of course it has. But and here's the thing. I know teams have to adjust for injuries. Of course they do. Everybody has to adjust for injuries. But you're talking about the champions here. You're talking about the three main centre-backs in the football club are taken out. Most teams would struggle.
So this is why I think City have got to be careful next season, because if they're going to lose Aguero, they've got Gabriel Jesus, who I don't think gets enough respect. If you look at how many goals he's scored coming off the bench, starting games, I actually think, go check his stats, guys. He's good. But if he gets injured, that you can't play in that. You can't play with a false nine game after game after game after game across all competitions.
They would.
But they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to go and buy a Haaland or a Harry Kane. I just don't see them doing that. I think Pep he's got his heart set on Jesus. So I guess it comes back to my question of, I've given you my Europa League team, my Premier League team. Now we talk about our bench, yes. Right?
Yes.
So for me, you've got to have explosiveness or options to come off the bench. Kev, you've been in the game. You've seen it. You've come off the bench. You've been in a game where you hope your manager calls someone off the bench to impact or change the game that may help you get a goal, may help create opportunities. To me, it seems like Lacazette, Martinelli, you know, these are even a Ceballos. These are the kind of players that can come off the bench and impact the game. Can you talk me through a little bit? I've given you the 11 that I think if he's going to juggle it, but the bench becomes so important, doesn't it, in this final act of the season?
Yeah, and that's why having a squad is so important, because you know, no matter how much you prepare for a team, Sophie, it's always on the day how you execute when you get over that white line. Mm-hmm. Because you've watched videos of the opposition, but the videos won't tell you what they are adjusting. They will adjust to you. And that's why football's so good, because you make adjustments for them, they make adjustments for you. And then in game or at halftime, the manager gets the team in. And that's why sometimes you see in the first half, it's not so great, and then the team adjusts second half, then you see the team go for it, and you think, well, we battered them second half. No, it's because they've had to adjust, because the opposition have adjusted. Remember, the opposition are going to make life difficult for you, Sophie. Mm-hmm. And you're right, having players who can come on and impact, and that's why sometimes Pepe might not start all the time. Pepe might be seen as an impact substitute sometimes because he will play certain games and they'll want him to be an impact substitute certain games. But the ones who are in the team for him have to perform. That's the name of the game right now.
Kev, do you think that, though, to me it feels like Pepe's a player that grows into the game versus coming off the bench and having an impact? Whereas I feel like Lacazette, and he's proven it, can come off the bench and have an immediate impact. I think Martinelli's the type of player, because of his pace, because of his heart, he can come off the bench and immerse himself in the game with the passion and style that he plays. Does a manager really think about those things when he's picking his 11 and who's... Because super subs can change games and they become instant heroes. I'm not sure if Pepe is that guy. I don't know. He needs to warm up a little bit for me.
We've actually seen him come on, didn't he? Was it Sheffield United this season? He came on and scored a great goal. And so he can make an impact. And what the manager has to try and think of everything. He has to try and think of everything. Here's the thing. Sometimes it depends who you're playing with, mm-hmm. Sophie. Because you made a really good point about Pepe with Cedric as opposed to Pepe with Bellerin. Because if Bellerin's playing, then does it impact you whether you bring him on? Because the connection isn't quite there, I don't think. Do you know what I mean? So you have to take all these things into consideration. You have to take the opposition into consideration as well. So listen, there's a lot of things that the manager has to think about. And there might be times where Pepe is at maybe a good game in the Europa League and he's tired. So you're going to have to put somebody else in.
All right, I'm going to have to ask you this because it's come from several people. By the way, I like Sir Kevin Campbell. All rise. Hold on. Let's all...
Draw the lass. Draw the cutlass.
I'm going to... There you go, Kev. Where's your head? Right there.
Try it. Try it.
I'm going to have to ask you this one, Kev, because a lot of people have been asking about Chambers. He's come back from injury. To me, I'm sorry. He's been at the club too long. With little impact, he to me has no. The answer's no for me. Is that harsh?
No.
Okay.
No. Look, Callum Chambers is he won't be an Arsenal player, I don't think, come the summer.
I agree.
And the fact that he's fit, obviously, gets a bit, he gets respected, and he can start getting involved after a long injury, etc. But I don't think he's going to be involved at Arsenal Football Club for next season.
Daniel, I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. Our best player before his injury, really?
But he has had patches where he's played well, yeah. Sophie. That's for sure, he has. But is Chambers the answer? Remember, we're not talking about the now. We're talking about trying to go and challenge the likes of Man City and Liverpool at the top of the table.
We can't keep doing the same thing over and over, Kev. The Chambers and the Jenkinsons of the world, the Elnenys, you know, you're never going to compete in the Premier League. We've tried it over and over and over again, and it just doesn't work. Quality we need is much, much higher. Look, he shone at Fulham because he was in a team of average players. Let's be honest.
Big fish in a small pond.
Yeah, and they got relegated, and he was the best player in a relegation team, right? So, come on. Badu, no, stop.
Hey, hold on a minute. I'm going to have a word about this Nana Badu. If you would play Chambers in midfield, why wasn't Chambers in your team then, Nana Badu?
Yeah, exactly. What happened there?
What happened there?
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, 300 of you in live chat, hit that like button for us. Subscribe if you haven't yet. We've just got a few more minutes here with Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell, dissecting my 11 for the Premier League and the Europa League. What do you think Arteta is thinking now, Kev, as we go into this final act of the season? You've got the North London derby coming up. We've still got to play teams like Everton. We've got to play teams like Burnley, who are fighting for their lives, of course. Mm-hmm. You're in the Europa League against Olympiacos, who's been a bogey team for us last season. He's going to want to exercise those demons. You've been in that moment. Does a manager tell me what he's thinking, because he's got to be able to juggle, right? And you never know what can happen in a game. I mean, look, Martinelli got injured in a warm-up, you know, and everyone's screaming about Martinelli, and maybe he's managing him a little bit differently. What do you think he's thinking, especially as he knows he's got to climb up the table and he's got to try and at least get to the Europa League final?
Well, the key what Mikel Arteta is going to be thinking is, now that we're starting to get a little bit of momentum going, it's to keep it going. Next game, can we play a little bit better the next game? Then can we play a little bit better the next game? And then can we start getting better and more consistent? Whoever he picks, can we keep the momentum and that feel-good factor in the squad? Because the more you win, is the better the feeling is around the squad. The better it is on the training ground, people are coming in and training with smiles on their faces, and you know, everything starts to build, and that's what you need. So for me, Mikel Arteta is going to be saying to himself, lads, that is exactly what I want. The response we got at Leicester, the response we got to going down against Benfica was first class. That is what I'm after. Now you've set the standards for yourself. You can't drop below them now.
No, you can't. And look, someone just said too, I want to bring this up real quick. Here's our schedule. We've got, what, eight, nine games left in the Premier League, Kev?
We've got more than that, love. Yeah.
We've got West Ham. We've got Liverpool. We've got Tottenham. We've got Sheffield United. We've got Fulham.
So, we got 12 games left.
Yeah, thanks, crew. We got 12 games left.
Yeah.
We got Everton. You know, there's 36 points up for grabs.
No, you're right. You're right. There's 36. Topper. You're right. There is 36 points up for grabs. There is. And do you know what? Do you know what we need out of them 36 points? Sophie, we need 27 points.
Do you think that's how many we need?
Yeah, I do. We need 27 points.
To do what? To get in the top six or to try and get into the top four if other people drop points? Or are we talking top six, Kev?
Well, we've got to be talking top six.
Right.
And see where we go. Because if you give us 27 points, that means everybody else has to go on a run. But a lot of the teams we play.
What do you think of Zamir's question? Sophie, aside from Man City, are any of those points unbeatable? Look, Liverpool's there for the taking this season. They're a bit of a bogey team for us, aren't they, to be honest with you? But we do play them at the Emirates and we beat them in the Community Shield. And we did get a great result for, at the Emirates last season before the end of lockdown, Kev. Mm-hmm. And
we
you know,
can beat Liverpool. We can beat... Listen, we can beat... We can whoop Liverpool, I'm telling you. We can. Always the key for Arsenal is the confidence. What's our confidence like? Because we've seen this team do well one game and then not show up for five games.
Right.
But now we're starting to get a little bit of momentum, and that's why Mikel Arteta, game by game, you know, you beat Burnley and then you go into the North London Derby, you win that, then momentum, the swell comes. So, you know, it's game by game, Burnley next, let's knock them over.
Right. And we've also got, as I said, Everton. Then we get to May, Kev, and we've got Newcastle, West Brom, Chelsea, Palace and Brighton. Now, you would
all,
argue...
All winnable games. They're all
Newcastle,
winnable games.
West Brom, Chelsea's at Stamford Bridge, Palace is at Selhurst Park. Yeah, I mean, the toughest game, of course, is going to be the North London Derby, but you'd think that we always do pretty good against Everton, sorry to say, don't we, Kev? We generally do well.
At the Emirates, yeah.
Yep, and Sheffield United, Fulham, you know, Newcastle, West Brom, Palace, Brighton. I mean, those games are the kind of games that we should be winning now if we found our formula and we go on this run and stuff. And I think teams like Villa might fade. You know, look, what they can't win too much without Grealish, and he's going to come back at some point. I think Leicester are going to fade again. I think they're going to choke again. I do.
Sophie. I said it earlier on in this pod, and listen to me. A lot of people are beating Arteta over the head with a stick right now because we're in 10th and we're in 11th and we're not doing this. But you can't beat him over the head until we get to the end of the season.
Yeah, this is
let's get to the end of the season, because all this crowing about these teams above us, we don't know where they're going to finish, because they can drop like a stone. Because now we're at the business end of the season. So let's see where we go.
Listen, I think these next two games could galvanize us to go on a run. I said it a lot on this show. You guys are probably sick and tired of hearing it, that the Arsenal like to go on a run in March towards the end of the season. And generally, it's been too late over the last few years. But it's not too late in this league this season, because there are a lot of teams around us who are dropping points. And, you know, that's key. And look, MJ, I agree. The fact that we view Burnley as a must-win game or else is a meltdown just shows how poor our standards have been lowered in the past few years. This is despicable. We're not going to argue with the fact that...
Hold on a minute. They're all must-win games. What's he talking about?
Well, in the league, they're all must-win games. But I think some fans are thinking... This is where we've gotten, right? We've got to beat Burnley. We're now in a competition with Wolves
and all of these other teams. Sophie, when you play for Arsenal, you got to beat everybody. It's not just because we're playing Burnley, all of a sudden the focus on Burnley. No, at Arsenal, you have to beat everyone. But the problem is we haven't been that team.
Yeah, I think top six is realistic. I just can't see us getting top four. I can't. I just can't. You've got Everton, Liverpool. You've got, I think Leicester will fall out. You've got Chelsea, who I think with Tuchel are going to continue to get stronger. I think it's clear City are going to win the league.
But
United.
They're not convincing. Chelsea ain't convincing.
They're not convincing, but no, I also think that he's an experienced manager who can find a way to win. And I think that's the difference at this point. You know, Klopp has, we talk about a team being the image of their manager, Kev. And Liverpool have been such an image of Klopp over the years. And this year he struggled himself personally, right? He's had some struggles. And I think that's been felt in the team. And it's natural. You know, it's when you're a machine the way they have been the last two or three seasons, and they've played so many games and they've not had a rest, and they've played in the World Cup, World Club Cup competition, they've gone Champions League, what, 2 years in a row, they're still in the Champions League this season, most competitions, it's not easy, right? So I do think they could find themselves out of a Champions League spot. But I think for us, you know, will West Ham fall out? Maybe. Can they keep it going? Who knows?
And again, this is the thing. West Ham are having a hell of a season right now. They're having a hell of a season. But West Ham have been nowhere. So all of a sudden, they've had... It turns like that sometimes. You know, you come in. Look at Sheffield United last season. Yeah. This time last season, Sheffield United were right six in the table or something
like
that.
They're going to get relegated this year.
And that's football. West Ham were battling relegation at times last season. This season, they've added a couple of players. And it's all of a sudden they're in the fifth or sixth. Yeah. Are they fourth, aren't they? Crazy stuff.
I know, it's crazy.
So it's the same, virtually the same players. Right,
yeah.
Virtually the same players, and that's the way it goes. But the thing is, West Ham can do that. Arsenal
the
can't.
Yo-yo. No, we can't. And no Arsenal one's going to criticize West Ham if they end up not finishing in the top four. No, everyone's going to say they overachieved. They were punching above their weight.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Whereas for us, it's going to be the sky's falling. It's, Arsenal Football Club.
No, the sky's falling. It's doom and gloom for us already.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, Taib, Unai Emery's won more trophies than Tuchel, I think. The dude's won three Europa Leagues, all right?
All right, Tuchel is the German Unai Emery. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. But as long as he's at Chelsea, I don't mind.
All right, listen to Sheerluck, just for the name. Hit that like button. Let us know what you think. Reach out. If you want to be on Friday's fan show, the HighburySquad@gmail.com, you can go at it with Super Kevin Campbell. He loves a challenge. He wants to hear the good and the bad, all right?
Hold on, the good... the bad and the downright ugly.
Well, look, Kev, I don't think my 11s were that bad, right? Based on what we're doing.
They were good. And if Arteta picked them two teams, I'll be happy.
I'd be happy too. And you know what? You guys make sure, if you want to be a little legend like Jags here, look at that. That could be brilliant. You with Kieran Tierney's shirt, and we would post it on the show next week. Jags wins the, let's face it, Arsene Wenger, still a legend, always will be, the signed pennant. He'll have it forever on his wall, and all it cost was a ticket, $4.95. He didn't even get the free ticket last week. He went and bought his own. So you're going to want to make sure that you guys end up with this so we can post you and this next week, right? Come on, squaddies, let's keep it going. We're going to give a free ticket away tomorrow night. And thank you, Martin. You know what? I've got a picture of me dressed as Clint Eastwood on a horse riding in the middle of Idaho. Kev.
Really? Totally. Get it on.
It's a brilliant picture. I think you would appreciate it. We're going to be back tomorrow night. Listen, next Tuesday is the return of Inside the Dressing Room, where we take you behind the white lines and into the dressing room for some intimate footballer stories, fly on the wall. We've got John Harkes for you. I've always wanted to get him on the show. John Harkes is a trailblazing footballer, the first American to ever play in the old first division, Kev.
Yep.
I know you played against each other, right?
Multiple times.
Many times. He scored that wonder goal. Was it the League Cup he scored that goal? Was it the FA Cup?
It was the League Cup, was it? League Cup final, yeah.
Yes. And John's going to come on, talk about his time at Sheffield Wednesday, West Ham, playing in England. He was one of the first, you know, real stars of the US men's national team in that World Cup. Just brilliant stuff. He's managing now here in the US, in the USL. It's going to be a great football conversation with him and Kev. So it's the return
of a good player he was as well.
Yeah, it was very, very good. Very good.
And do you know what I want to ask him as well, Sophie? Because, you know, sometimes you look at, you've got to look at both sides of the story.
Mm.
So when we, in 93, as Sherlock just put there, where we were going for the two cups and we played Sheffield Wednesday in both finals. Obviously, the first one, we beat them 2-1. This is where Tony Adams dropped Stephen Morrow and done his arm in. But the obviously the second, the FA Cup final went to a replay. I want to know, obviously, they're gutted, but how it affected them.
Yes.
After losing that, you know, in the way, the manner they lost that.
And I think sometimes fans forget Sheffield Wednesday, massive club, Kev.
Yeah, big, huge club. Darren Moore's just taken over. Bless him, but I wish him well.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone there from Doncaster, but huge, huge Yorkshire club, Sheffield Wednesday. And they had a team and a half.
Didn't they?
At the time, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we look forward to welcoming John on the show. He was listening to some of the Highbury squad episodes, gearing up for it, Kev. And he's like, I got to keep up with Super Kev here.
No, so it'd be great to see him.
Yeah, it's going to be really good stuff. So that's going to be great. And then, as I said, we're going to do a very special episode where we take you through a big game that Kev's played in. Bit piece by piece, moment by moment. You guys loved when he took us down memory lane with all those old Arsenal pictures and stuff. And so we're going to be doing that next week. As you know, here at the Highbury Squad, we like to bring you some diverse content. And then we're also going to do something special on the financial side of football as well with a special guest who I'll announce next week. All right, Super Kev, we're going to be back tomorrow night. And until then, let the kids know, Super Kev.
Listen, this is only one place to be. You know that. It's the Highbury Squad. And you know we love, always love the Arsenal.